good to be here once again. I've been looking forward to this for a little while. And I have some old friends and some younger ones. And it's so good to see you again. Now, I do have some handouts to give out. There should be enough for one for everybody. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Old Testament feast days. Some of you might say, what do they mean? Some people say, let bygones be bygones. Forget about the Old Testament. They don't mean much to us. Now, if the Old Testament feast days were actually appointed by God, there must be some meaning to them. What do they mean? Okay, here we go. Do they mean anything to us living in these last days? Well, first of all, it sounds and looks pretty bad to kill a sheep. I don't know whether you have seen it, but I have. As a minister, I thought it would be good for me to know what it's like. So I went to an abattoir where they kill animals. And it was pretty gruesome. The cows could smell blood and they refused to walk on. And overhead, there would be a piece of wire. And this thing is actually connected to the wire. It's a probe, electric probe. And they would jab the backside of this cow, which would jump along. And every time it jabs it once, it would move a few feet on. And eventually, it gets into a tiny enclosure about that wide. It's cement. It's got an open top. And once it's in, there is a steel door that closes behind it. And then the person who kills would take a gun, not an ordinary gun with a bullet, but it's a bolt gun. A bolt gun means there's no bullet in it, but he would fire it, and the thing would go into the right between the horns, bang, like this, and it would retract back. Why is that? If you leave a bullet in a cow's head and someone decides to buy a brain, they could be chewing into a bullet, break their teeth, and they'll sue you, or they get lead poisoning, which is just as bad. So, why the slaughter? In the Old Testament time, they actually kill animals. But there must be a meaning to it. Why on earth? And not only do they kill it to eat, but they kill it to burn. Now, if you were to burn a dog or a cat, it would take a fair bit of wood to just totally burn the thing up. And I suppose, like everything else, God would give a command and human beings would pervert it. That is, we get it all wrong. How many times we get it wrong? Doctor, you know, you say, now you take this pill, it's real good for you. And say, well, if one pill is good for me, doctor, I'm going to take five tonight and five tomorrow, and I'll get real well overnight. Does it work that way, doctor? No, it doesn't work that way at all. Because Anyway, would you like to turn your Bibles to... Now, have we given the things up? That one is not in there, so if you want to add to it, it's absolutely amazing. 1 Kings 8, 63. There you go. And Solomon, by the way, he was a very wealthy guy. And I think he was showing off a bit. It says, Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offering, and he offered to the Lord 22,000 bulls. Now, 22,000 bulls is like a farm, isn't it? Can you imagine burning all that? There would be rivers of blood. There would be, you would take a forest to burn up 22,000 bulls and 1,200 sheep. Now, what I'm saying is, human beings always get it wrong, okay? We get it wrong. And Solomon got it wrong. By the way, one wife is marvelous. I've got a wife. But two wives, not so good. 10 wives, real bad. Isn't that right? Well, poor old Solomon got it all bad. He's got hundreds of wives, and he got it wrong, okay? Were offerings given to please, to appease, that is, to kind of get on the good side of God? No. No. It's not that at all. Well, as I was brought up in a Chinese environment, and if you upset a god, you would go and give him chicken or oranges. I have actually, as a little boy, I've seen people pouring tiny little cups of alcohol, wine, to their gods. And the modern concept is they would even make little paper motor cars and paper money to give to their gods as a bit of a return favor. Okay, I upset you, and it's like a bribery thing, you know. I'll give you some money, and I'll give you some chicken in the hope. Now look, the cows are not to feed God. That is not on. Would you like to turn to your Bible? Psalm 50, verses 12. Psalm 50, 12 to 13. All right. 12 to 13. And this is God talking to people. He says, look, if I were hungry, I'm not going to tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls? Will I drink the blood of goats? The obvious answer is no. You're not feeding me. I am feeding you. Isn't that right? Yep, that's right. Here's another one. Hebrews 10, 4. Hebrews 10, 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. So why on earth did they offer sacrifices? Well, obviously, it's not going to make you any better. The Bible says so. It doesn't take away your sins. And it's certainly not for feeding God, because human beings don't feed God. God feeds us. Okay, here is a picture of the Old Testament time, when they actually have this huge fire, and they come, that incidentally is the church, the Old Testament church, and they have this altar of sacrifice. And they would kill the animal, by the way, when they commit sin, they would take away along a goat or a sheep or a bull or a cow, and they would kill it. And they would put that on the fire, and you say, what a waste. Huh? That's good food going to waste. There must be meaning to it. Okay? And then after that, there's this water, and it's for washing. You know, those of us who have joined the church know we practice a baptism, and this is like washing away sin. Before you go to church, you take a bath. And so before you join the church, you get baptized. Okay? Now, why don't we do it today? Huh? When I started many years ago, I said to myself, by the way, I was in a Catholic boarding school, and I started reading the Bible. And I said, well, when I'm done here, I'm going to look for a church that does two things. Now, don't laugh at me because I was only a new guy, okay? I didn't know too much. I said, I'm going to look for a church that keeps the Sabbath, Saturday. Two, I'm going to look for a church that offers sacrifices. I would be looking a long time for a church that would keep Saturday and offer sacrifices. By the way, we don't do that today. I doubt very much there is a Christian church that would offer sacrifices. Well, why not? Well, Paul says that. Look, let's go have a look at Paul. Paul was saying, look guys, you've got it all wrong. First of all, you think you are killing animals just to please God. And that's wrong. And the other thing is Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3:11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Paul says, look, don't even try to offer a bribery, a form of bribery. Huh? A chicken, oranges, a cow. Was God particularly interested in roast lamb? No. Well, why on earth are you doing it? Don't rely on the Old Testament ceremonial system. Doesn't work. Because all these things... Now, if I were to tell you, look, forget about Christmas, forget about Easter, people say, you must be joking. These are major feast days. Huh? What about people living in Melbourne, Moomba? It's a major event, a cup day. We don't even gamble. You say, why on earth would you have a public holiday? And so on. Chinese people, oh, we love our Chinese New Year. It's a lunar calendar thing. Okay? And all this Gong Hei Fa Choi business, okay? And what about Zhong Shao Jit, huh? Mid-Autumn Festival. They love that. And I know we went up to, we were in China. It happened to be a double feast day. October 1 was Chinese New Year's Day. I mean, Chinese National Day. And then Mid-Autumn Festival fell around that time. Wow. There were people everywhere. It was so hard for us. We could hardly get around. Now, if I were to say, okay, from now on, if the government, the Chinese government, would say, no more Chinese New Year. No more Mid-Autumn Festival. People would rebel. And that is exactly what happened to Paul. Paul was saying, look, don't cling to the Old Testament feast days. They don't work. Stop trying to save yourself. Look to Jesus. Now, the verse in 16, verse 16, let's go to that one, 3:16. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to my seed, as to many, but as to of one, that to your seed who is Christ. Look to Jesus. He is the one who will save you. He is the one who will save you. And so, let no one judge you, verse 2:16. Let's have a look at 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, that we may believe in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, for the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified, and so on. Now, 2 Colossians 2:16. I was wrong, I'm sorry. Colossians 2:16. Let's have a good look at that one. And people just love this verse. They say, you know, if there's a verse in the Bible that really attacks the Seventh-day Adventist, this is it. Because, so let no man judge you in food and in drink. Adventists are always talking what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat, what you shouldn't drink. Isn't that good? Man, the meat and the drink and regarding the festivals and the new moon and Sabbaths, Adventists are always talking about Sabbath. And, well, this is it. Now, I'm just going to point out to you what it really means, all right? All right. First of all, the Sabbaths are a shadow of things to come. Well, what does it mean? I'll tell you now. What you're seeing up there is what I typed in there. What you're seeing is really a shadow of what I've got there. Isn't that right? That is the shadow. The real thing is there. But I'm showing you the shadow. Now, let's have a good look. The real thing is what? The substance, that is the real material thing, is Jesus. And we are saved not by food, not by drinks, not by keeping the Sabbath. All right. Things to come. You know, during this the week, we have been studying the Sabbath school lesson, and things to come actually came up twice. Did you know that? Did you know? Okay. The feast days are actually a shadow. That is, they point to something in the future. All right. The book. In the book of Hebrews. Why in the book of Hebrews? Because that book is written for, is it for the Italians? No, that's Romans. Is it for the Greeks? No, that's Corinth. Corinth is Greek. If there is a book that's written for the Jews, that's it. Hebrews. They may as well call it the book of the Jews, because that's what it is. Written for the Jews. Okay, and Paul says they are a copy. Hebrews 8:5. 8:5, who serve the copy and a shadow of heavenly things. There you have it. Copy or shadow. And verse 5 talks about a pattern shown to you in the mountain. And then it says, chapter 9, verse 9, it actually calls it, it was symbolic of the present time. And so all those Old Testament things, Old Testament feast days, were actually pointing to what Jesus does for us. Regarding foods, 9 verse 10. Certainly, concern only with foods and drinks and various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. That is, the so-called foods or meats, it actually talks about food rather than meat as you get from the butcher shop. Okay? Meat offerings and drink offerings are actually offerings representing something. Now, but the real thing is about Jesus. The whole thing, they had 7 days, seven different days in the Old Testament time, and they were all about Jesus and what He does for us. And it has very, very little to do with how many cows you can kill. Okay? Hebrews 9:11. You love this one. 9:11. But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come. Just let your mind onto that. Jesus is the promised one. And the Jews were looking for the Messiah, and He came. He came. He was the good things to come, with greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of the creation. Hebrews 10:1. Now talking about the Old Testament feast days. Okay? The law having a shadow of good things to come. Get it? The law, that is, all the Old Testament things pointed to Jesus, who is the good things to come. Now, if you have missed anything, Cindy, that's it. Jesus is the promised one. All the Old Testament people were looking for Jesus, and when He came, they missed Him. Isn't that sad? They missed Him entirely. Jesus was the good things to come. All right. Now, what about Sabbaths? Well, let's have a good look at Leviticus, Old Testament time, 23:3. Now, verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work in it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. What it means is, the seventh day, by the way, Chris, look up in the internet, just put Sabbath or week. You will find Saturday is the last day of the week. You say, I thought Sunday is the worship day. Not according to the Bible. Not according to the Bible. So when I started reading the Bible myself, I found out Saturday was the day. And I was going to find a church that keeps Saturday and offer animal sacrifices, remember? Okay, that's the Sabbath. The Sabbath. Now, there are other days, Let's have a look at that. Verse 38, talking about the weekly Sabbath. Weekly Sabbath. Verse 38. Besides, the Sabbaths of the Lord, that is Saturday, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, besides all your free will offerings which you have, and so on. Now, I want to read you something interesting. Verse 39. And also on the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall gather in the fruit of the land, and you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. First day shall be a Sabbath of rest. Now, there is a distinction between the Sabbath of the Lord and a Sabbath of rest. Get it? One is, it can fall. Did you know Christmas can fall on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, any old day? And that is what he's talking about. And the 5th day of the 7th month, you might as well say the 15th day of July. But their year is different from our year. So it's not really legitimate to say 15th day of July. Okay? Because their year starts in March. And so it's quite different. Now, these point the weekly Sabbath point back to creation, when God made everything. Why do we keep this day? Why is it so important? Because God made the world and He made all of us. And there you have it. Each day of the week there, God made light and God made the sky, God made the sea and the, and God made the sun, moon and stars, and God made the birds, and God made human beings and animals, and last of all, God made the Sabbath, that we have a weekly cycle as a result. Okay? Now, the annual Sabbaths are quite different. 23, 32. Leviticus 32, here we go. It shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest. A Sabbath. And those are quite different because they're annual weekdays. And it can fall on any day of the week. And these are some of them. Holy convocation means you get together. First day of the unleavened bread, last day of the unleavened bread, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, Day of Atonement, and first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and the last day. And these are, and by the way, that is the Hebrew word for Sabbath. Sabbath. And I couldn't find it, so I wrote it out. And I thought you might want to see it. Now, these are the days. Alright? The name, Passover. The first of all those feast days is the Passover. That is, when you're Christian, Jesus died for you. And that is like the animal dying for us. But you say, can the animal die for us? No. It's only symbolic of what Jesus can do for us. And then you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread that represents sin, getting away sin. And Christians are not burdened with what I have done in the past because God looked after that 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. And so, first fruit is what? I'll tell you what, if you can tell me what that is, there is a reward. There's a CD for the guy who knows how to, what the first fruit is all about. Not sure. That's pretty good. That's good enough. Come and get it. All right. Resurrection. So when Jesus resurrected, there were... Thank you. When Jesus resurrected, there were a bunch of people who came up at the same time. And so when Jesus went to heaven, a bunch of people went up with him, maybe 24 elders? No? 12 elders? No? We can't be sure. All right, I'm just telling you. All right, the Pentecost. What on earth is the Pentecost? The Pentecost, there's no price for guessing. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Feast of Trumpets, there's a price for that. Come on, who knows? Yes? Prepare yourself. And what does that mean? Yep, that's pretty good. It actually, come on, get it. Well, I'll tell you what, nobody can say I never get anything out of John Chan's sermons. Because you do. Now, what it means is the, you know, guys like William Miller, who says, look, Jesus is coming, he's going to judge the world, and you better get ready. That is the gospel trumpet. In fact, the Bible talks about it, and of course, the Day of Atonement is the day of, come on now, judgment. Yeah. You don't get two, by the way. You just get one. All right. Finally, this is very important. Finally, the Feast of Tabernacles is when you get away from your home for 1 week and you rejoice and you sing songs to the Lord. Sometimes it's called the Feast of Waters because they actually pour water on each other. And after that, they go home again. Now, what do we ever do things like that? Get away from your home and go to somewhere for a meeting for 1 week and come home again? It's called camp meeting. That's right. Yeah, it's called camp meeting. So now look, these are the occasions when the Jews were obliged to meet with 4 times a year. Or 3 times a year. Anyway. Now, typical meanings. The feast days cover the entire Christian period from the time when Jesus died to the end of the millennium. Now, when Jesus died, these feast days are no longer celebrated. We do not kill animals anymore. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus died for us. That is good enough. And we look back to the cross where the Jews in the Old Testament time look forward to the time when Jesus would die for them. And that's why they have this sacrificial system, but do we have it anymore? No way. They're gone. You like that? Boys and girls, you want to see that again? Look hard. They're gone. Alright. Now, I know these are not corresponding to January, February, and so on, but these are the feast days. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit, Pentecost. By the way, anyway, and then the three at the end, and there's no more. Huh? Now, I'm going to go like lightning because I'm looking at the clock. A feast to remember how God delivered the people. They were slaves in Egypt. And they were locked up and they were flogged and they had to work hard. And we are no longer slaves. There are two meanings. The other one is, we too have been delivered by Jesus, the Lamb of God, who suffered on the cross for us. And because Jesus died for us, we are free. We are no longer slaves to sin and to the world. That's the difference. Okay. And is it legitimate to say that Jesus is our Passover? For sure. 1 Corinthians. Come on now, let's go. Lightning. And I may not read all of them, but 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, 1 Corinthians 5:7, therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. By the way, back in those days, God instructed His people, look, if you want to escape death, this is how you do it. And they kill a lamb and dip a bit of twig in the blood and splatter that on the doorpost, the front door. You say, how gruesome is that? Well, let me tell you, if Jesus died and His blood is on you, you are free. You are no longer the sinner that is bound for destruction, but you are bound for heaven. That is the difference. Jesus is our Passover. The second one is, let's have a good look at that. Jesus died for us. Now, and so the Old Testament sacrifice represented Jesus on the cross. So don't say, it's all rubbish. The Old Testament days, they're nothing. We're living in the Old, New Testament time and we are Christian people and all the rest. Now, unleavened bread. And Jesus actually says, look, yeast. Did you know housewives did not go to the supermarket to buy yeast? If they want to make bread, they make their own yeast. And they fermented the stuff like a bit of potato and a bit of grapes or whatever. I can't be sure how they did it. Okay. They just made their own yeast. And then, after 12 months, the yeast, if you keep using that, you get a sour tummy. You say, I can't believe this. I've been eating this bread for a while, but boy, it gives me a sour tummy. And that's where the problem lies. It's good doctrine gone bad. Well, let me tell you some of the bad doctrine that's been going around. The yeast is discarded. A fresh batch is made. Can I tell you a bad doctrine? Some churches tell you that if you die, you go to purgatory and you get roasted for so many years before you go to heaven. Man, I would have a very negative concept about God if I get roasted for 2,000 years before I get to heaven. Isn't that right? I'd feel very bad about it. And as for babies, where's that baby? A baby outside, okay. Did you know when babies die, they don't go to purgatory, they go to limbo? Now, you don't find that word in the Bible. You can't find it in the Bible because it's not there, all right? No purgatory, no limbo, it's all made up. And beware, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The Pharisees say, you save yourself by being good, and the better you are, the sooner you go to heaven. That is nonsense. So Christians don't believe in being good? Yes, Christians believe in being good, but we don't try to save ourselves by being good. Okay? That's the difference. All right. Leaven represents perversion or sin. And Jesus, by His death, has purged out our sins. All right? Make a fresh start. So we get a fresh start with Jesus. That's what it means. First fruit. What's the first fruit? Well, in Matthew 27, let's go to it very quickly. Matthew 27. I have to talk fast. Talk in shorthand. 27 verse 52. And this is what it says in the Bible. And the great, oh, by the way, here we go. Verse 51. No, 50. Let's start with 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit, that is his breath. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. There you have it, resurrection. Isn't that right? Resurrection. People were resurrected, and they were delivered from death, and Jesus was resurrected. And he went to heaven. We too were delivered from darkness of death. That is from error. That is a spiritual application. Converts were called the first fruits. Converts were called first fruits. And baptism is like a resurrection. And so, have a good look at that. There's a person coming out from the grave and the angel says, "Here you are, Mom. There's your little child. You missed him so much, and there he is, restored back to you." And Pentecost is called the Feast of Weeks. There were 7 weeks. Now, boys and girls, give me a good answer, real quickly, maybe. See if I've got some more. No, I don't have any more. So you don't get any more. Yes, you do get. All right. 7 sevens are? Could you say that again nice and loud? 49. Would you like to get a CD? Well, that's amazing. You knew your timetable, didn't you? Now, the day after 49 is, quick, 50th. No more CDs, sorry. 50th. 50th is the Pentecost. The word Pente means 50 days. Did you know that? There you go. 50 days. And they celebrated the day after the 7 weeks. And seven weeks are 49 plus one more, that makes 50. The disciples waited for the Holy Spirit to come, and it did come, and it gave the church power to preach the good news. And they were all endowed with the Holy Spirit, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they went out and turned the world upside down. And then you have the Feast of Trumpets. The trumpet was an instrument of warning. It calls people together. But it also warns the people that there are enemies coming. And that's like an early warning device. Okay? It warns about the coming of enemies. And Paul says, give the trumpet a certain sound. You know, no good saying maybe or maybe not. Back in those days, they did not have two-way radios. And when the general says, "I want you to turn to the left," and he says to the trumpeter, and he goes, "Doo, doo, 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 doo," 3 times, that means turn left. And you go, toot, 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 that means turn right, and forward is a different sound. They all knew, all right? They all were trained. So it's no good giving an uncertain sound. If you're not too sure, don't even try it. You have to know what you're talking about. Giving a certain sound. And Isaiah says, lift your voice like a trumpet. And that is preaching the gospel. And God's special message is a certain, well, let's go to it, Isaiah.
It's talking about the Sabbath.
58:13-14. Now if you turn your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy of the Lord, honorable, and you shall honor him, not doing your own ways of finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, and you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on high places and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. What he says is, look, you know what you're talking about, and let's go to verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell the people, am I unsure about Saturday being the Sabbath? No. I'm absolutely sure of it. And I've got no hesitation in telling you that if you go to Israel today, they still keep Saturday. Okay? Yes, they still keep Sabbath. And there are dozens of languages. Italian, Spanish, they all call Sabbath, Saturday, Sabbath. Sabbata, Sabbaton. Greeks call it Sabbath. They say, well, what is it? I said, I don't know, but it's called Sabbath. Anyway. And the Bible talks about seven trumpets. The seven trumpets are the sounding of the gospel message. And there's a guy by the name of William Miller, and he told the world, get ready, Jesus is coming soon. And these are the pioneers of our church. And the Day of Atonement is often called, it's the most solemn day. It's called Yom Kippur. And that's a Jewish word meaning Day of Judgment. Yom Kippur. Yom is day. Kippur is judgment. Anyway, day of fasting and prayer. All Jews, they wouldn't have a party on that day. In fact, there was a Yom Kippur war when the Egyptians said, these guys wouldn't be ready because they all in church. And so they started a war, and boy, did they get pounded up. Huh? The Jews got so mad and said, you chose the wrong day to attack us. It would be much like they try to attack Aussies on Christmas Day. Huh? Anyway, it's a day of fasting and prayer. You shall afflict your soul. And that is 1844, is the hour of God's message has come, and worship the Creator. That's what we have been told. That's why we keep the Sabbath. And so Jesus is our lawyer, and He is our judge. And He's never lost a case. And when you come to Jesus, as long as you cling to Him, you're a winner. And finally, the tabernacle, the last day, the last of all the feast days. You know what it is? Going to heaven. Isn't that good? And our camp meetings like that. Going to heaven. The joyous festival celebrating the harvest. And harvest is the harvest of souls. Matthew 8:11. Come on. Real quickly. 8:11. It says, I say to you, many will come from the east and from the west. Now, as I look at you, many of you have come from the east, like I have come from the east. Aren't you glad that God has tapped you on the shoulder and say, my son, my daughter, why don't you come home? And I am so glad that God loves me. The westerners and the easterners, yes, we're all there. And let's read on. And sit down with Abraham. We're not Jews, but once we become Christians, we inherit all the good things that Abraham was to inherit. Inheritance is a good thing. Did you know Yvonne's mother died and we got some money out of that? That was good. My auntie died and we got something out of that. That was good. My auntie didn't have any children. So we got some goodies. So we will inherit all the good things that was promised to Abraham. We covet. Isn't that good? And they were to live in booths for 1 week, and then they'd return to their dwellings. And they, with singing and pouring of water. And God, I believe, is coming soon. Summary, Passover is crucifixion. Unleavened bread is cleansing from sin. First fruit is resurrection. Pentecost is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Trumpets is the warning. Three angels' messages in Revelation 14. Atonement is judgment, 1844 on. Tabernacle is heaven. And where are we now? We are right at the end of time. We are actually celebrating, we should be celebrating the camp meeting of the universe. We're near the end. Today is a day of preparation. Today is a day to give your heart to God. Don't delay. Don't delay. Today you say, I've heard the good news. This is the Old Testament feast days, and they all mean something to me. They all mean something to me. And we better take notice of it. Hebrews 3:7. Hebrews 3:7. And this is what it says. You know what it says? Don't harden your heart. When you hear the voice of God, you take notice. 3:7. Today, if you hear His voice, now therefore, as the Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, as in the day of rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness. Today is the time when you give your heart to God and say, I want to be ready. Now, I'm not going to live a long time. Did you know that? I'm getting on. But today is the day when I give my heart. Romans 13:11. This is what it says. 13:11. This do, and knowing that the time. Now it is high time to wake out of your sleep. Did you hear that? Wake out of your sleep. And now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Huh? That's a good one. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, we're going to sing the last hymn, which is 412. Is that right? 412. And we are, Lynette and myself will play the first stanza before you start. Okay, 428. I said 412 and I was wrong. It shows that I can be wrong. Okay. We'll have prayer. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for reminding us that all those Old Testament feast days have a real meaning for each one of us. Lord, we just want to thank you for what Jesus has done for us. Help us, Father, to look to Him for salvation. Look to Him for strength. Look to Him for forgiveness. And we know soon Jesus will come to take us to a better home. And Father, may we learn to trust in you and work for you and serve you all the rest of our lives. Until Jesus comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.